Time again for Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. With us today is Al McGall, features writer with the Quad City Times. Later on, Garrison Keillor contributes a feature himself, Writer's Almanac, on Scribble. Al McGall, how can you handle so much stuff? I mean, I see your name in feature after feature, and it seems features writer is, it ought to be, you know, factotum or generalissimo. You ought to have a pretty exalted title. Just, not just the quality, but the sheer quantity of material you turn out for the Quad City Times.
Thank you. I guess the main thing is to just kind of be working on and thinking about a couple of things at once, and sort of juggling when things will get done, and always having something, you know, in the coming up, you know, so that there isn't any lag time of finding things and ideas and sources. And then also, unlike a news reporter who might get called off to a fire and, you know, your afternoon is lost because you had to interview people rescued from a building, as a features writer, I can kind of control my own time. So that's very helpful. You know, I know, you know, this many hours I have to do this, and I actually can do that, whereas a news reporter might get sent hither and yon, and something might take way longer than they thought, and then they don't get back to it. So
I don't know. When I have a deadline, you know, you got to get this done a certain time, I freeze up.
I could not work under the kind of deadline in a newspaper. You know, I like to sit and think and then have a cup of coffee, sharpen a pencil, let it meditate for a while. But, man, yeah, you do churn the stuff out, Alma, and it's all good.
Well, the real sharp deadlines, you know, the like the fires and shootings and things like that, that, you know, you only have to say a few things, and you only have to be very direct, and so that, but it is a little scary. Then there's the weekly deadline, you know, that's like the immediate kinds of deadlines, and then there's the little bit longer ones. But yes, it is good to ponder and to think about and to let things settle in. And of course, always, you know, if you don't have time to read it, you know, with fresh eyes, like you write a story and then you let it sit overnight or a day and then go back to it, I find I always am changing things. And if you don't have that luxury, that's, well, then sometimes things get in the paper that you wish you'd had a little more time on. So I always try to get my stuff done ahead of time so that I do have time for myself to look at it again and see how it strikes me the next day.
Yeah, it's do you pick your topics or are you assigned to do certain things?
Mostly I get to pick my topics. One of my responsibilities is to produce the home and garden section every Sunday. So, you know, I mean, I pick my topics, but they're all in that genre. You know, I wouldn't be writing something far afield of home or garden in that. But what specifically I choose within those parameters, yes, I get to pick. And people, you know, ask me things and ask me to do stories sometimes. But I don't get assigned a lot.
How about, I want to go back to the thing that occupied the paper for a solid week, and that was the Valley Bank situation. How did you come to do that? Was that an assignment? Was that something you puzzled about yourself, or what?
It was something I puzzled about myself. I don't cover a finance or business or anything like that, but I, like, just a regular reader picked up my paper in June of last year and saw on the front page this bank had failed. And I, you know, banks don't fail every day, or And I thought to myself, well, I wonder what happened there. There's probably a story there. And I remember when that bank started in 1993, there was quite a bit of hoopla about it. It was the first new bank in Iowa in 25 years, and then they grew, and it seemed like everybody, there were people who left the Times to go work for Valley Bank, and there were Valley Bank billboards, and there were Valley Bank ads, and, you know, and I thought, yeah, it'd be really interesting probably to, and it's a finite period of time, 20 years that bank was, 21. So I thought to myself, you know, that'd be really interesting to kind of piece together who was all involved and what happened and such. And that we got, shortly after the bank closed, we learned of a couple of lawsuits involving the CEO of the bank that alleged fraud. So we thought, you know, maybe there's something here. And maybe if I just start turning over rocks, you know, that'll I'll just keep following every lead I can, something will come of it. And it did. It was really, I don't know if fun is the right word. There was a lot of work, but it was a really interesting story. And it's probably the biggest, undoubtedly the biggest project report I've ever done.
Normally you would think that would go to a financial reporter.
Yes. Of course, with downsizing of newspapers, you know, you just sometimes you look around and you think, well, if somebody's going to write this story, maybe it'll just be me because there isn't anybody else. You know, we used to have designated investigative reporters. I was going to say reporters. We never had more than one. But so, but yes, that's kind of how it has become a little bit. If something's going to get done, you just there you be. So I picked it up.
When you say you pick it up, did you ask the editor?
Oh yeah, I was just working on it in private and sprung it on her. Yes, we did have a story. We had a kind of early on a brainstorming session. You know, what do we? A number of editors and reporters came together, and we talked about what do we know at this point in time, and what do we not know, and what would it be good to know, and what you know. And I remember saying, well, it would really be neat to write a story that was like the rise and fall of Valley Bank. But I don't think we have the information. I don't think we can do that. So failing that, here's some things we can do. And then we talked about, you know, writing about the lawsuits, pursuing leads on this and that. But then as we did some reporting, And this is really what helped make the story possible, is some people stepped forward with information and documents. And that allowed me to go much further than I thought I would be able to in the beginning. And in fact, I was able to write that story that I first didn't think was going to be possible.
How long did it take you to do the research for
yes,
those articles?
I think that maybe between 2 and 3 months, kind of off and on. I probably really started really, really in earnest in September and October, but I was still doing my regular, you know, filling the Home and Garden section on Sunday. And so September and October, then November was really full bore. This is all I did. Nothing else. Kept, you know, going to websites, tracking down stuff, becoming familiar with, I mean, the FDIC, the Federal Reserve, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, they all have websites where you can find tons of information, but you have to drill down a lot in some cases and just keep pressing buttons and finding stuff. I mean, at least for a person who is not knowledgeable of it in the first place. Now, if I had been covering banks for years, I would know directly. But for me, it was a real steep learning curve. So anyway, all of November and pretty much most of December. Towards the end of December, I did some other. I did a couple Home and Garden stories, but I would say all of November, most of December, and then a little bit of September and October. So 2.5 to 3 months. And then all of the first 2 weeks of January, I wrote, you know, everything I had. you know, huge. My theory is kind of to put it all in and then, you know, take out what is extraneous, gets to be boring, gets to be too much, gets to be more than the reader wants to know. So I kind of whittled it down that way. And it also became kind of clear to me, you know, how to organize that much information. Since I had that idea of the rise and fall of Valley Bank, a chronological approach came to me, you know, that you would write a beginning story that sort of lays it out, what you're going to say the next 7 days, 6 days, so that there are no big surprises. I don't believe in that. And then and then step back and just go from a certain period of time to a certain period of time, cut it up in chunks of years when significant things happened, each one having kind of a theme. And then I realized that each story needed to have a different kind of beginning and ending than the one before it, you know, so they weren't all the same. That was a bit of a challenge.
How did the decision come about to think, oh, let's run this for about 6 days?
Yes, well, that was mine too. I as I wrote out everything and could see how many days, you know, could we reasonably sustain this, you know, interest in it, that there would be something compelling and new enough in each day's story that it could stand on its own and that it would keep people reading and that they wouldn't say, I know all this, why do they keep writing this? And there is probably some of that anyway. But when I kind of laid it out, well, I knew we wouldn't want to go more than a week. I mean, that would be crazy, really. But so it just kind of fell that way.
Yeah, that's where did you learn to do this? Well, how did you get into writing? And Roald, it seems to me, she talks about things that you try to teach students.
Yes.
How to put a story together, how to make it work, beginnings and ends and so on.
Were you a journalism major? And
I was, but really it was English class.
Okay.
And I
score one for tweet.
Yes. English class and, you know, a lot of reading. I had really good teachers in grade school and high school, Catholic education system. They were good. And I guess when I was thinking, and I had a good writing teacher, like sophomore year, he had this, he had his ways. You had to write controlling statements and you had to, you know, well, that's the one thing I remember was those controlling statements, nut graph, whatever, you know, that you would call it, where you kind of, thesis, where you set out at some point what this story is going to be about. Anyway, when I was thinking about what is it I want to do in life, what kind of job can I have, I thought of what I was best at, which was English. So I thought, okay, I could go to college and get a degree in English and teach English. Then one of my sisters suggested that perhaps I could write for like a newspaper, she said. So, that's a thought. Okay, well, I'll do a double major then. I'll get a degree in English and a degree in journalism. And so that is what I did. Then I kind of ran out of time to get a teaching certificate. So, and I began to like journalism, and I worked for the newspaper and the college newspaper, and I interned. That was a requirement, actually. You had to have a practical work experience to get a degree from Iowa State. So it was both. It was English, where I think you learn, you know, language and you learn, you know, how to use language, make some sentences long, some sentences short, do, you know, pause, this and that. And then the journalism, you know, the who, what, when, where, and why. And just the importance of no matter what, you just have to be clear. All kind of pretty language that doesn't convey meaning isn't for journalists, anyway.
How did you wind up with the Home and Garden beat?
Yes, I was actually, you know, it's kind of a little journey. I was a news reporter in the beginning, and then I moved into editing. And then editing can be a really long day after day, 10 hours, 11 hours. You just are there a long time. And that's when I was married and started a family and thought, well, I really don't want to work that many hours. And so I became a copy editor, which was more, you could more put in an 8-hour day. And then one day I looked, and then the kids were getting a little long, and I looked over and I thought, you know, there's this home and garden section we have, and nobody really, we had a section like that, but nobody really loved it. Nobody championed it. Nobody really thought it was a great thing. They, you know, it was just kind of, we filled it with different stuff, and every so often Shirley Davis would write a home tour and such as this, but nobody really, so I thought, you know, I could do that. So could I sort of start working on that on the side? And so I did, and then there came an opening. Someone left, so I asked if I could become back to being a full-time reporter. So then I kept that home and garden and then did other things and then started this column, which I really enjoy doing. And so it's just, you know, kind of that little journey of life where you take your opportunities where they are.
Do you garden yourself? I mean,
that is always such an embarrassing question when people say, oh, I bet you have a beautiful garden. Yeah. And I say, well, I have trees. And that's supposed to mean that I have dry shade. And not really. I have some plants, I will say. Mainly my main background in gardening, I guess, and why I know what I do is that I grew up on a farm, so you always planting things, and I, you know, planted a garden as a child. I mean, the family garden, and then we had a lot of flowers also, and so, you know, just what I learned from my dad and learned from doing in the garden. And then when I first started, I did take some classes, like through community education. Bill Wehner, who had Aunt Rhody's, he taught classes. I learned a lot from him. And, you know, just try to educate myself a little bit on, you know, plants.
It's not unusual, Alma. I must tell you that for a few years I was working part-time at the Catholic Messenger, and they assigned me to do the farm page.
Oh!
And I knew a cow from a horse, but that was about it. But I did the farm page,
yes,
and I wrote a column.
Yes. Wow.
It's amazing. You know, people, you know, talk about Shakespeare. How could he know all these things without being a nobleman and so on? You don't have to do all that. You can quickly learn. You can learn enough to be able to deal with it. And, you know, as you go along, yeah, then you learn even more. Doing is a good way of learning. It truly is. And you certainly have mastered the home and garden element. But I am amazed at the sheer volume of work you do and the consistent quality of your writing, Alma. That's
Thank you.
Alma Gall, who's a features writer for the Quad City Times, has been our guest today. We're going to continue with taking a look at some books and so on, but right now there's a persistent fellow who wants to step up to the mic and tell us about the Farmer's Almanac. I refer, of course, to our good friend Garrison Keillor.